This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. A favorite theme for writer Catherine Ash is secret identities. In her latest book, our young heroine Arabella takes passage on a ship through the English Channel. She meets a rough-and-tumble sailor who is not what he seems. Could he be royalty in disguise? Well, as it turns out, the author has a secret identity, too. You think she's Catherine Ash, acclaimed historical romance novelist, author of the new book, I Married the Duke. And she is. But she's also Catherine Brophy Dubois, a visiting assistant professor in religious studies at Duke University and writing under the pen name Catherine Ash for many years. Catherine, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
How did you get into writing romance novels?
Oh, I've been writing stories my entire life, really since I was a little girl. I think the first story I wrote, I used to, you know, fan fiction.
Yeah.
This is the kind of fiction that where you take somebody else's story and you sort of tweak it a bit or you add on to it. If anybody remembers Margaret Ray's Pretzel, the world's longest dog, he was this enormously long dachshund, right? And he had this, that Margaret Ray gave him this love interest. And I just thought that, I mean, with all due respect, Margaret Ray is a fantastic children's book writer, absolutely. But she didn't deserve him. So I rewrote, yeah, exactly. I must have been in first grade. And I rewrote the story with this much more sympathetic love interest. And so I think I've been writing stories, starting with animal stories, but since I was a little girl.
Did you imagine you would be a writer back then?
No, I never did, honestly. I loved writing. I just didn't know that it was something you could do, you know, for a job.
Did you let people read these things, or were they just for your own?
Oh, my family read them. My mom read them. My teachers read them. I had wonderful teachers in elementary school and middle school and high school. And mostly I was writing them for my friends, my sisters, my mom. They were my biggest fans. And then eventually, actually, the story of how I ended up getting published is a kind of funny one. My husband, we were at vacation for something like 2 weeks. We'd been living abroad for a while. This was when I was in graduate school. And my husband, we were with my family, and he needed a little time on his own. So he took, a paragraph about one of my books into my father's office while we were all doing whatever Christmas things, shopping or what have you. And he wrote a bunch of letters to publishers and agents, and a publisher responded. So it was really my husband needing a little time away from my family. He loves them. They love him. But so that's how that happened.
Well, that's great. Yeah. So more of that. And he too professes at Duke.
Yep, he sure is.
So you get yourself a job in the academy. You left tenure track, the academy though, the tenure track, to write novels full time.
I did. Doing it part time, and I was happy in academia, but it wasn't a perfect fit for me. I adore teaching. I really love it. And I love the intellectual project of the scholarship, but I really, really wanted to write stories. I wanted to take what I was working on and what I was reading in other folks' books, history books, and transform them into adventures and love stories. And so that's what I ended up writing. And I was doing that. I mean, secretly, I was doing it. You know, by day, I was at the Vatican. I'm a medievalist. I do medieval religious history. And I would be at the Vatican archives during the day, researching, working my way through papal registers and what have you. And it was fantastic. And then in the evenings to relax, I would write chapters of these stories, sort of adventure novels. Sometimes I had, pirates or
I mean, this is straight up Fabio on the cover romance.
Yeah, it sure is. This one doesn't. This book is, in fact, my first book that doesn't have the hero represented on the cover. It's just the heroine. But yeah, it sure is.
So did you find or did you feel like you had to hide from this from your colleagues?
I'll tell you, I did. I didn't tell anybody. For a while, I wasn't published. I was writing for fun. And then I was beginning to seek publication. And that can be a long process. And especially since I had already a full-time job. I was on the tenure track at the university I was at before I came to Duke, and I had a family, a young family, so I was very, very busy. And I didn't tell anyone, mostly because it was more like a hobby. But then when we shifted universities and I came to Duke and intentionally came as a part-time instructor, and I put 100% of time into, or at least now I feel like I work 150% of the time. But in any case, I put a great deal of time into working on trying to get published and in perfecting my manuscripts. I felt that I wasn't in any way, shape, or form ashamed of what I was doing, because I love writing love stories, and I see no shame in glorifying love. And adventure is terrific, and happily ever afters, I think we need more of those to lift us. But I was concerned that folks who didn't know me, my colleagues who didn't yet know the person I was, would make snap judgments mostly out of ignorance, because I do think a lot of people don't entirely understand what romance fiction is right now in the 21st century.
Well, tell us about your latest book, I Married the Duke. There are secret identities in here, too. Tell us a little bit about this.
Yeah, well, basically, it's a story of a young woman who is seeking her future in an identity she actually doesn't really know who she is. She's an orphan. She's one of three orphan sisters. And she's looking for her identity in her future. And she thinks it's her project to, she thinks she needs to marry a prince in order to do this. And she's poor. She's a governess. And so she's on her way seeking her identity. And the hero, on the other hand, is pretty much escaping from his. He's been at war and he has a pretty nasty family background. In fact, one of the themes in the novel is hunger and child abuse. So that is something there are always themes in my book that I bring from, frankly, my scholarship and from the world. So he's trying to escape who he is, and they sort of crash into each other, and that's where the adventure starts.
Finds out who he is before they know the backstory, which is your concern as well. Yeah. Know who I am, then I'll tell you about these books I write, and by then it should be all right. So how much research then goes into these books? You do historical research. Do you do that for these novels?
Yeah, I absolutely do. I do a lot of the material I already have I've been reading about it for decades, essentially. So for each book, I will do a couple months of really intensive research, and then I'll research on a need-to basis. Before I told my colleagues that I was writing romance, I would tell them I was writing historical fiction, uh-huh, because it seemed a little more on the up and up and something they might sympathize with a bit more. And I would ask them, I would, you know, take them out to coffee, and I would ask them, these are my colleagues who work in the period that I write in, which is the early 19th century British Empire. And, you know, take them out for coffee and interview them on particular. So what's the bibliography? You know, what are the books I could read that would be the best things for this particular? Yeah. And that was my secret fun way of squeezing them for.
Now, what does it do for? Do your readers call you on any of the details in your book?
You know, there are some. The way I've experienced it in the past several years since I've been published and since I have a number of books out, most readers want a great love story. They want a terrific love story, and the focus of romance is the point of romance is to give readers a terrific story about a relationship. Some readers are more interested, it seems to me, like some readers are more or even more interested or at least equally interested in issues of historical detail, I would say minutiae. So occasionally I've gotten a handful of emails or letters saying this is something that you've gotten wrong, in which case I say thank you.
Well, if the love story is the important thing, why is it important for you to do a little research?
Well, I'm a historian, you know, at heart. I mean, I'm a trained historian, so I want it to be as accurate as possible. Yeah. I absolutely do, without a doubt, want it to be.
You talked about wanting a great love story. We're talking about romantic love here. So what makes a great romantic love story?
In the way I see it, yeah, it's two people who help each other become the best people they can be. I like my heroes and heroines to help each other reach their fullest potential as a human being, to really be the best person. And that is, you know, aside from all the other things that might bring a couple together, that's the most important thing to me in any relationship, whether it's a friendship or a romantic relationship.
Which is why this idea of secret identity is probably common to many of them, the idea that somebody knows something about you that you didn't know yourself, that's bringing out the best in you, that notion that something is hidden for one reason or another,
mm-hmm, and sometimes,
this relationship is good.
Sometimes they're out and out disguises. I mean, my heroes sometimes have disguises or alter identities, but sometimes it's just in the person hiding things from himself or from others. Yeah.
Will you read for us?
Oh, I would love to. Yeah. They're on the ship, and Arabella is in trouble. Halfway to the hold, he heard her scream. Sailors' heads came up around him. "Orlop deck, sir," one of them said. He leaped down the stairs and bolted toward Stuart's office, men in his wake. No time to load a pistol. He reached for his sword and slammed the infirmary door open. With her back pressed to the wall and color flushed across her cheeks, she wielded a bone saw in one hand and a pewter jug in the other like a Valkyrie, with regal fearlessness. A yard away, the sailor pointed a dirk at her neck. His other fist was clutched tight, but between the awkward bones shone gold and red. "I told you they would come." Her voice was strong, but compassionate, as though her pale throat were not inches from the lad's blade. "You should have listened to me." He was one of the new men that Luke's quartermaster had hired on at Plymouth, barely old enough to raise a beard. Now he stared at Luke with fear, the dirk shaking in his grip. "He told me he'd pay me 3 guineas to do it," came his raspy reply. "3 guineas. "Whoever he was that made you such a promise, boy," Luke said, lifting his sword and stepping between them, "he's left you to swing for it alone." The youth made no move to resist. The dirk fell to the floor with a clatter, and he seemed to crumple in upon himself. Luke gestured for one of his men at the door to take up the dirk. Then he reached for the thief's hand and pried the ring from the slack fingers. He nodded to his crewmen crowding the door. With a growling cheer, they burst into a volley of shouts, grabbed the thief, and shoved him before them from the cabin. Her eyes were wide, her face pale now. She lowered her arms.
Catherine Ashe reading from her latest novel, I Married the Duke. Arabella, you describe as Valkyrie, regal fearlessness. How much of the character comes to you first, or does the character evolve? This is a strong woman. Are all of your characters, your heroines?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I chose this page to read, because she really is. She is strong in and of herself. And in helping each other, they use their own strengths to help each other become the best people they can be. My heroines are strong women. They're women who have agency, use the agency that they, which isn't very much in the early 19th century. These women didn't actually have much agency, but they use it to achieve their goals. Sometimes their goals are not what they think they are. And that's always the fun. I often, in developing characters, and I do develop the characters first, I come up with one of the characters, and then almost immediately the partner will appear to me in some way or another. And often what I ask myself is, well, what does the character want? And then what does the character actually need? And usually the character discovers the difference between what he or she wants and what he or she needs by the end of the book.
So the idea of a character not being all-powerful, having some vulnerabilities, having some, you know, sort of questions in mind and not having everything. I mean, sometimes when we think about romantic literature, the hero is so self-contained. They have everything. They are the vanquisher. Are those the ones that give good romance literature a bad name, the idea that they're not real characters, they're cartoon-like?
I suppose that's a notion that people have about romance, that they're cartoon-like. And it's true that what we call an alpha hero is the most popular kind of hero in a romance novel. So he does seem to have it all together. My heroes don't. My heroes and heroines don't. They have all sorts of issues they're dealing with. So it's more fun that way. I mean, it's more fun to read a novel where the individuals, in any kind of novel, where the individuals really learn something about themselves and where they mess up. And yet where, despite the fact that they mess up, they do noble deeds and they behave with honor and bravery, both the women and the men.
Well, that, it seems to me, I mean, I've heard the distinction between this kind of literature, say romantic fiction, and literary fiction is maybe the difference between myth and fairy tale. Fairy tale with wish fulfillment, the myth, things end badly, but there's a way in which the human condition is exposed whether you like it or not, and that may be a fundamental difference and a way to distinguish the two. But when you have characters who have mythic vulnerabilities, it seems to me that you're sort of in that other territory.
Yeah, I do think that in a good romance novel, the human condition is exposed. It's just that in a romance novel, you know that at least a couple people for a time are going to be happy. And that there is a belief in love, that love can actually, love, and I'll put with that compassion and all sorts of things, can help people, individuals as well as communities, against the struggle.
So it's one thing to make a distinction between various genres, science fiction, romantic fiction, literary fiction. I mean, and you can do it and define it, and that's an intellectual exercise. But then there is a kind of hierarchy of quality. I mean, a sense of one being better than the other. I mean, do you think that's deserved, where you say this is less than?
Yeah, no. I have to be quite frank about that. There is There's good literature, there's good writing, and there's bad writing across the board. You just have to find what you, and then there's also taste. Romance, the great thing about romance is that there's almost everything. There's any kind of writing you want to read and any kind of story. Romance opens itself to a lot of, right now, at least contemporary romance. So, yeah, I would not say that there's an issue of quality. Genre fiction is not as good as so-called literary fiction.
And whatever you say about it, it is certainly the most successful and by far, in a way.
By far, by many, many multiples of percentages. Romance carries the mass market fiction in the United States.
So do you think these judgments we make about the quality have anything to do with the fact that mostly a lot of women write this?
I do. It's an industry that is run by, driven by, and consumed by women. And I actually do. I'm not the first romance author or romance reader or publisher to say this, but it is perhaps an indication of how in our society women's pleasures in many ways, entertainments, but also a certain mistrust of or perhaps devaluation of female sexuality, because this is glorified in these novels. And so, yeah, I do think that's possible.
Do you ask your students to read this stuff?
No. You know, I still keep my identity separate to my students. Some of them find out, but I do keep them separate.
A few of them are going to find out right now.
We'll
Catherine Ashe, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Catherine Ashe's new book called I Married the Duke, also known as Catherine Brophy Dubois, Assistant Visiting Professor in Religious Studies Department at Duke University. That's our program today. Thanks for listening. This is North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.